In the morning.
I have been in the United States, unbelievably, 48 years. But still, my mind and tongue geared to Japanese, so I hope I communicate with you. Today is, as you know, World Communion Sunday. The Christians in the world are acknowledging and celebrating the sense of unity in Christ through Holy Communion. So, this morning I would like to speak about the mystery of Holy Communion that makes all Christians one in Christ. I like traveling, especially to unknown places. And in the midst of traveling, I have visited churches on Sunday. I didn't mind any churches. Presbyterian, Episcopal, Baptist, Congregational, Methodist, and independent churches, even the Roman Catholic Church I attended. And an amazing thing I have realized that is there are the Christian in any places, even in the corners, very corners of the world. Let me share my experience, one experience. In spring of 2006, one evening around after the midnight, suddenly I received a telephone call from Japan. From my brother-in-law. He was slightly intoxicated. Probably, I guess, he had made a big decision before he called me. With help of whatever, sake or beer. He suddenly challenged me, saying, "Hiro," actually more polite expression, "Hiroya-san, Hiro, would you like to visit Ireland with me?" Ireland. After midnight. I did not give my immediate answer to him. Through the conversation, our conversation, I finally responded to his challenge and said to him, "All right, let's go to Ireland." I was actually delighted to visit Ireland, because Ireland is the Celtic homeland, right? And I had visited the Celtic site in Scotland, Wales, England, but I never visited the site, Celtic site of Ireland. And I shared it with my daughter, Maya, in London. And Maya shared it with her friend, an Irishman. And he was actually born and grown in Dublin, the capital of the island. And he said to Maya, I'm willing to go to with your father and your uncle. Before hearing it, I had learned about the map of Ireland, how to visit the Celtic site by rental car for 2 weeks. But suddenly, I got a guide. Besides, he told me that the Celtic man, he told me that he is going to drive for us. So suddenly I got, guide. By the way, we need, in our life journey, we need map and guide. The map for the Christian, the Bible, scriptures. And the guide is Jesus Christ. So, one day in July 2006, after we watched Wimbledon tennis champion, in the early morning we left London. Driving to Fishergard. Have you heard Fishergard? The far west of Wales. From there, we got on a ferry boat and sailed through St. George Channel. Excuse me, maybe my tail. I'm sorry. So we left London in the early morning and driving to the far east of Wales, Fishergard, and we sailed through St. George Channel and arrived at the harbor of Wexford, Ireland. It took about 5 hours by ferry boat. And it was late afternoon, so we stayed overnight there. And next day, we headed toward the west side of Ireland. I think we drove 1 day and a half and arrived the west side. That day was Sunday. So I looked around the Protestant church, but as you know, it was very hard to find Protestant church because the great majority of churches are Roman Catholic Church. But fortunately, I found one small Protestant church, very small and remote place. I entered into the sanctuary. 12 or 13 or even 15 people attended. No pastor, no preacher. I think these Irishmen were so surprised by my presence. I think these people have never have seen Japanese visitor. So, and one of the leaders and asked me to read the scripture. And even he asked me to share something, you know, suddenly. So I shared with them how I became a Christian at the age of 17 in Japan. We had a great worship service. After the worship service, we had the fellowship together, warm fellowship. Folks, I have been amazed. Wherever I went to, there have been the Christians. And I could have connected with them easily because they and I were brothers and sisters in Christ, who has truly loved us and crucified for our sins as a suffering Savior. But Christ did more than that. Jesus had given us his eternal life. This is all about Holy Communion, spoken by Jesus through the scripture read this morning. The day before the crucifixion, Jesus was having the meal with his disciples. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." You know, the bread signifies life. As Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." The wine and grape juice also signifies life. As God spoke to Moses in Leviticus, saying, "The life of the flesh in the blood." Right? So, bread and wine or grape juice signify life. Of course, the blood also signified the forgiveness of sins, as Jesus said. Well, by saying so, what Jesus intended to say to the disciples? I think Jesus wanted to say two things in Holy Communion. Firstly, Jesus wanted to share his life with the disciples. When he gave the bread and wine, Jesus certainly lived by his biological life, as we do. But at the same time, Jesus lived by his spiritual life. Spiritual life. That is the eternal life. The Apostle John said, "This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. In his Jesus." The word eternal, aionios in Greek, means far more than simply last forever. It is not simply endless time. our universe is not eternal existence. We are not eternal beings, certainly. So the word eternal cannot properly apply to any creatures, any human beings. Eternal life, therefore, nothing other than the life of God Himself. Eternal life is a life in which God lives. John said that eternal life was in his Son, saying, "We declare to you what was from beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and declared the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us." 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 2. The Apostle John said here, "Eternal God has sent a person, Jesus, to us, who lived in the eternal life." And he says that they have seen him, disciples have seen him with their eyes. The disciples heard him by their ears and touched him with their hand. John and the other disciples witnessed the eternal being in Jesus of Nazareth. So, eternal life is not abstract, not a kind of life after death, more concrete, more tangible, visible. Jesus showed that what the eternal life is in his ordinary days and years. Jesus talked to the people by his eternal life. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom by his eternal life. He taught the scripture by his eternal life. He cured the sick people by his eternal life. He laughed by his eternal life. He cried for the sorrows people by his eternal life. He enjoyed his life with the disciple by his eternal life. He loved the people by his eternal life. He got even angry to the people by his eternal life. Thus, Jesus lived by his eternal life as well as by his biological life in the ordinary days and years. The amazing thing is that Jesus came to share his eternal life with the disciples and all of us. Then, secondly, how did Jesus share his life and forgiveness with the disciple? Surprisingly enough, Jesus used the materials, bread and wine, in order to spread his eternal life into us. This is surprising. His new life is spread not only by purely spiritual or mental act, but by physical, bodily act, like baptism and Holy Communion. God uses these materials, bread and wine, grape juice, to spread his eternal life into us. Why? Because this new and eternal life is not merely the spreading of an idea. This is important. Not idea. It is more biological spreading. We are certainly spiritual beings, as in essence. But God never meant human to be a purely spiritual creature. That is why God uses material things like bread and wine to put the new life into us. We may think these materials, bread and wine, rather crude and unspiritual, but God does not. God created matters. God created all things. He likes materials. God invented eating and drinking. The great Archbishop William Temple, many years ago, said, Christianity is the most materialistic of all religions. When he said, he meant he had in the mind the commitment of genuine Christianity to the faith, that God really became human in Jesus of Nazareth. First, God really, truly identified with human beings, infusing his eternal life and new life into us. In August 1984, Olympic Games was held in Los Angeles. At the time, I was pastor of West Los Angeles United Methodist Church. One day, I watched a wrestling match competing the gold medal between an United States athlete and a Japanese athlete. Since I came to this country, 15 years passed already. So I cheered both of them, American athlete and Japanese athlete. It was a good match. The game was over. The American athlete won the gold medal. Newscaster interviewed with him. He was so excited, he got gold medal. The newsman asked him about his Japanese athlete. Then I heard an unbelievable words spoken by the athlete, saying, that Jap. I understand. He was so excited. But in the International Olympic Games, it was not allowed, never allowed to say that. I hardly couldn't believe it, what he said. And I got so mad, angry. As you know, I'm a quiet new essay. I'm a quiet pastor. I'm not a social activist type of pastor. I'm a pastor and maybe pastoral theologian. But I'm so mad with him. So right away, I picked up the telephone and I called Long Beach Sports Arena and protested what he said in the interview, saying, U.S. athlete publicly disgrace Japanese-American people. So he publicly must apologize to the Japanese-American community. I hardly believe it. I was getting cooled down, and I suddenly asked myself, why am I so mad? I had known that word, Jap, is humiliating and despising the Japanese-American people. Why am I so angry now? And then I realized that I had known the term Jap conceptually, and mentally. However, at that time, I began to feel it bodily through having the life of the church with the West Los Angeles United Methodist Church members for many years. Thus, I began to identify with church members. West Los Angeles United Methodist Church, about 450 members. And three-fourths of the members went to internment camp in Manzana. I visited the site, campsite, and vividly imagined our church members, how they lived such a desert. And I vividly imagined Mr. and Mrs. So lived here. I imagine. Folks, God had truly identified with us in Jesus of Nazareth, who lived in the eternal life, and given his life into us through mental acts of faith. Yes. John said, everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Yes, through mental act, faith, God has been given the eternal life to us. But also, God spread Christ's new life by bodily act, Holy Communion, held this morning. We may not understand the mechanism of Holy Communion, why God uses the materials, bread and grape juice. But likewise, when we eat something, we may not know about its nutritious fact and mechanism. But when we eat something, if we believe and eat it, we may be fed and sustained by it. This is why we eat the bread and drink the cup by bodily act together, that God continue to infuse spread Christ's eternal life, new life, resurrected life into us. Folks, God may mysteriously surprise us by our bodily act of Holy Communion this morning. Amen.